Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Growth Well. I am Josh Bird, your host. Today, I've got a super fun episode for you. A friend that is more of a new friend. I just met her in the past year and a half or so, but she's a senior executive coach. She's also a world traveler. She's a yogi. She's a dog mom. She is really a champion for the balance that we like to explore here on Growth Well. So without further ado, Lauren Wegman, thank you so much for joining us today.
Josh, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be on and chat with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So just to get us started and for our audience, tell us a little bit about you and how you got to where you are professionally and personally.
Yeah, absolutely. What a big question, right? To start off.
It's such a big question, but the rest of it doesn't make sense without
the context. You know? So I'll start kind of recent, work my way backwards. You might be able to hear my dog barking in the background.
You are a dog mom. It's all right.
So I have been an executive coach with Mind Maven for about 3 years. And a lot of times people ask me, how'd you get there? How'd you get into being an executive coach? And it's a pretty amazing story. I got extremely lucky and, you know, very, very grateful for all the opportunities that I've had along the way. So I actually started at Mind Maven as an executive assistant to the CEO. And I think I might've told you this story, Josh, it might be ringing some bells. But I started as an executive assistant to the CEO. And within a few months, he was like, you can't just be my executive assistant. You're like, I'd love to put you in front of clients. And awesome. I just like fell into something that I absolutely love. And joining the company, I really had no idea that it would grow into what it has and be such a career. And it's just been incredible. I loved being an executive assistant, but I love executive coaching even more.
Well, you're either helping one executive or many executives. It's kind of somewhat the same or has elements of the same.
Exactly. And on top of that, I now get to train other executive assistants as well. So there's just, it's all the best into one. So that's on the professional side. On the personal side, you talked about my dogs. Those are a huge pillar of life. And live here in Austin, Texas right now. Love to
keep Austin weird.
Yep. Love to travel. But yeah.
That's awesome. Well, I'm going to tell a quick story about how I met you. And why we connected so well. And I'm really excited for this episode because when I started to look around and whether I was going to go out on my own, which as our listeners know, I have and love it. I was also really intrigued by the AI space and its intersection in healthcare. And you had actually taken a slight break from your executive coaching and you were working basically, correct me if I'm wrong, but in HR, you were screening applicants for this AI healthcare company, and we won't say their name, but you were so great to me and we connected, but you actually did me a huge solid in that you didn't give me the job and you told me why. You told me that like, hey, this is not for you. And I think for our audience, that's really important context about you, but also about the keys to how we should think about balance, right? Because you do ultimately have to be in a position in a role that supports your life goals and fills you and gets you excited to work every day. So that's the quick story of how we met. And so one thing I don't know if I've ever asked you directly, but it's very clear to me that you have one, you know, tell us what is the purpose or the why that you do what you do, and maybe where did that come from?
Yeah, I think such a good question too. I think a big piece of my why has actually evolved and changed.
Yeah,
honestly, Josh, since I met you, and even given me kind of more purpose. Part of that is like what brought me back to Mind Maven. So I'll start with why I joined Mind Maven and then how it's evolved. So why I joined, anybody who's maybe listening to this and isn't familiar with Mind Maven, we're an executive coaching organization. And we really focus on this foundational relationship between executive assistant and executive. I had been an executive assistant for several years, and there is this misconception with executive assistants that they aren't super capable, aren't super driven. And MindMaven was the first place that I felt gave so much credit to the role and really wanted to take it to the limit. And so I joined the company with this purpose of really exploring on the career side as an executive assistant, a company that really valued that role. And once I got into the company, it became so much bigger, Josh. It's a company that is so growth oriented and is so like supportive of learning and challenging employees. And then it evolved into, as you were stating, like sharing that with other executives and actually being able to coach other executives. And also about work-life balance and what does that look like as like an adult? You know, I was 25 when I joined the company, 26. And so, you know, as your life evolves and what those needs look like. And so it's just been a really interesting experience. And I think my purpose has ultimately now evolved into how can I help as many executives and executive assistants live their most intentional career lives balanced with a super fulfilling personal life. That's what it is.
Wow. If I could have picked a perfect guest for GrowthWell, I mean, that's it. You know, that's what this whole show is all about. And I think you and I share that because that's my whole goal is to help as many people as possible. We were talking about before we hit record, you know, you just put good into the world and help elevate people with no expectations and things happen. You know, I'm a very spiritual person and I believe that it's God. Some believe it's karma, but it's something. Whatever it is, it's real. You put good into the world and it comes back. And I love that you're doing that.
And we were just talking about that. I know you mentioned, but before we popped on, some of the things that you've done throughout the last year and a half in a pretty early relationship, completely unexpected, but you're always willing to help and always willing to support.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's my purpose in life is to help as many people as I can. And so, you know, back to your purpose, back to your work, back to your life as a yogi and a dog mom and all the other things that you're so passionate about. Most of the people I talk to have very specific rituals and habits and routines that help them ground themselves in that. Furthermore, you have the experience of talking to so many executives who probably need that kind of structure. So I'm really interested in this question, like what rituals and habits and routines do you have? Because you've been exposed to so many different styles, you know, what works for you?
So this is one of my favorite questions, but I have to say from the get-go that I'm probably, I know you're less ritualized than I am. I am hyper routine. So everything that I share might not work for everybody.
Sure.
I used to be someone, this is not a joke, where 24 hours of my day was scheduled out. And if you had asked me 3 days prior what I'd be doing at X time of day, I would be able to tell you I've actually had to become less that way. I was a little bit too much that way. But I would say key components, I have five roughly, that are like not my non-negotiables.
Okay.
My first,
what are they?
Sleep. So I am, 8 to 10 hours of sleep, depending on how my physical health is.
Wow.
Especially if I'm sick or like dealing with a lot of emotional stress, my body can need naturally up to 10 hours of sleep. People watching this will be astounded by that, but I'd say 8 to 10 hours of sleep. Great food. I prioritize meal prepping every single week. I eat at very consistent times of day, so I don't go 5-6 hours without eating. Movement. Mm-hmm. I move my body. So that can look anything like steps to yoga, to lifting weights. Just make sure it's something that you like. Hydration. And then lastly, time for yourself. And
yes,
each person's time for themselves can look different. Mine is a mix of, we were talking about this before as well, but meditation, prayer, journaling, reading, but just like that more introspective time.
Yeah. So I'm curious, with those things as priorities, as well as your work, how do you start your day? Are you one of these people that has a very routine start to your day, or do you plan it all the night before so you don't have to have the routine in the morning? What do you do?
I'm a routine start. So I have always found that the way that I start my day sets the tone for my day. And so Absolutely. Starting in that peaceful, grateful, very centered, grounded way carries that energy throughout my day. I know there's a lot of people that kind of can hop right into things and they can get to it later. I have noticed in trying all different routines that doing it early really does set the cadence and the tone for my day.
So how early are we talking if you're getting 10 hours of sleep?
I used to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. 10 years of my life, woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Not anymore. So now it could be like 9 to 6 a.m. is really nice. But I mean, okay. 9 o'clock, if you got kids, like that's why a lot of the things that I'm talking about are very situation specific. Like I'm
sure
I don't have children. I have the capacity where I can sleep, you know, 9 hours a night. In a year, that might not be a reality for me. And so taking all that into context, I would say everybody's super different with wake up times too, but if you can give yourself 45 minutes to yourself, and if you're a parent, that's obviously probably unrealistic. If you can give yourself 15 as a parent, even better, you know,
so we'll take what we can get. Exactly. Right. But I'm willing to wake up early to have more time to myself, 'cause it may be the only time that I have where literally nobody is pulling on me.
Other people
and I like to be pulled on, to be clear, but I need that time as well.
Yeah. Especially before the house wakes up, before you're getting work emails, all that good stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it takes a lot of discipline. I was talking to somebody else about this today, and discipline's not my strong suit. So I'm not perfect at it, but on days that I do it, I'm really happy I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say I've gotten over the years where probably 4 out of 5 weekdays, I start it correctly.
See,
which is, you know, and I had to learn to have grace for the days that I didn't, you know, because otherwise I'd beat myself up. I'm also a perfectionist and I've had to learn to not be a perfectionist. Right.
You took the words out of my mouth with that, because that's been my journey probably about since I met you, is learning that routines change and being flexible with different seasons of life and giving yourself grace. I was definitely much more rigid when you met me a year and a half ago. And I've learned to lean into, there's a place for balance and there's a place for grace.
Yeah. I agree. And I think that you'll agree with me here, but place for balance and grace is not a get out of jail free card for not living intentionally. I think that in fact, it is the balance of the intentionality that you put on it. So I'm curious, was there a moment in your life that you sort of turn to this majorly scheduled, routined, you know, life flow, if you will, that works so well for you? When did you learn that?
I think I learned it really young. So I grew up in a family where my dad is super ritualized, super routine, to the point, and people always laugh at these stories, but I'll tell a really short story. I can remember, Josh, grocery shopping, he left at 9 a.m. on Saturdays. It was the only time we went to the grocery store during the week.
Okay. No quick runs when you needed something.
Laundry,
none of that.
Laundry was Sunday at 10 o'clock. And like,
wow.
It sounds extreme, because to a lot of people it is, but it modeled a lot of really good things. Obviously, again, you have to take what works for you.
Was he a military man by chance?
He wasn't. He's actually, he's been in finance his whole life. But the routine helped him be really successful in his career. And it, I think, became second nature to me then as his child. I think it lended to my personality too. Obviously, there's personality differences there too.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, you know, I think you've figured out a lot, but no one is perfect. Mm-hmm. And so, and oftentimes I find, at least for myself, when I'm sort of getting off track and off routine, I am not the first to recognize it. So I'm always curious, do you have people or, you know, checkpoints in your life where you've set them up so that you know before you know that you're off, right?
I think my top tip would actually be like identifying your non-negotiables. Because my five, if I don't get those five, I can normally go a day, 2 days.
Sure.
But if I'm going much more than 2 days, so I think knowing your own personal non-negotiables, because they'll be different than mine, my boyfriend will always know. He's going to know probably within 8 hours of whatever's starting to happen, because I'll be maybe a little bit more blunt or direct, or, you know, not as gentle in how I'm communicating. And he's going to notice it right away. Sure. And it could be, I'm tired, I haven't worked out, could be anything. But he helps me know when I'm off track, and he's a very patient and gentle person. So he'll do it in a very gentle way too. Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good. So if you're in that moment, what is your go-to? How do you bring yourself back? I know for me, oftentimes the thing that goes out the window is exercise. And I'm like, I got to drop everything and go for a run. Or if it's raining like it is today, I'm going to jump on my Peloton. Even if it's 20 minutes, like just to move and sweat and reset sometimes really helps me. Do you have like a one go-to thing that it's like, I got to reset ASAP? What does Lauren do?
Move my body. So if I have 20 minutes, it's going to be like a walk or a run. If I have an hour, a yoga class, an actual workout. If you have 5 minutes, put on a song that you absolutely love. Like, I mean, there's just like, there's things for every level of time that you have, but the music can change my mood. I know, Josh, you're huge into music.
Oh yeah.
It can like be instant if it's a song you really
love. Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I'll never forget. I had a close friend who was having a bad day, and I knew a song that she loved. And I was like, hey, nobody, you live alone. Go blare this song as loud as you can and dance around
your house.
I dare you.
Yep.
I was like, I dare you. And she was like, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard. I was like, cool. I dare you to do it. Do you accept the dare? She said, yes. I said, call me in 10 minutes. And she did. And she was like, what just happened? And I was like, music is power.
It is.
And, you know, you can change your mood with the right music at times. And I also believe that by taking the step to put on the song, you're triggering something in your mind, and I'm no psychologist, but you're triggering something in your mind that says it's okay to reset, and therefore your body takes over. So when I'm really stuck in something, resetting, whether it's a song or a Peloton or whatever, seems to really, like, maybe, do you have any research that shows that that's what's happening? Because it feels like that's what's happening for me and a lot of my guests on this show.
You know, I don't, but I wonder if it's one step even before putting the song on. It's the choice to reset. Like that,
yes,
that subconscious choice that you make of like, okay, I'm done being stuck in whatever it is that I'm stuck in. Doesn't mean the feelings go away. It doesn't even mean it's solved or anything like that. But it means I'm choosing to look at this in a better way and have a different perspective. I feel like that moment of choice is actually what makes the shift, interestingly enough.
I think there's some power in that. There are I read a book called Atomic Habits recently.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. Yeah, so good. And there are little things he talks about in that book that you can put in your kind of in your way to trigger actions. And so I try to surround myself with things like that as well. Because life's hard, right? And you add kids and dog to the mix, or you add your, how many dogs do you have again?
Three dogs. Yeah.
Three dogs. I mean, that's busy too, right? And you got executives calling you and trying to figure out their world, and you're acting as coach and therapist. I mean, there's a lot going on. So you've got to be really, really intentional. But I think that's so important. So this, now we're coming to the advice section, right? So like the reason I started this podcast was trying to figure it out on my own. And I was like, well, I'm just going to interview a bunch of people who seem to know better than I do and learn. And everybody is so different. And it's been fascinating to hear. But ultimately, I want the people, our listeners, to take away from every conversation a little tidbit about what they can do to move intentionally towards balance in their life.
I love it. So I would say I would ask it in my coaching as well, but it applies to personal life just as much. First place you have to start is identifying the challenges. So yeah, what is bogging you down? Like, what are the things that you're doing in professional life, in your personal life, that isn't jazzing you up and isn't adding value to your life in whatever way you ascribe value? So for some people, it could be cooking, it could be cleaning, it could be the errands, it could be a million different things. It could be certain calls at work, it could be certain direct reports. I think the first step is always getting really clear on what those things are. Next step is, what can I do about those things? Some of them are just going to be facts of life. A lot of them aren't. And a lot of them are things that we can change. Can you delegate it? Can you outsource it? Can you minimize it? Can you make it take up less time? Can you pay someone to do it? There's all sorts of different options. Does it need to be done in the first place is a really good question to start with.
I love the Eisenhower matrix, right? That to do an urgent and don't even do kind of, I'm sure I've really messed that up, but no, look up the, if you're a listener, look up the Eisenhower matrix. It is been game changing for me.
Yeah. It's a great one. Another one that I would point to is Rian Doris and their peak performance coaching. They have some really great coaching on really identifying what those things are. And, you know, he talks about like the top five where people like let time get sucked. News, social media, alcohol, like a ton. There's five, I'm forgetting the last two, but think about the impact of those on your life and where are they adding value? And if they are, keep them. Nobody's telling you where the value should come from, but it is more this like rigorous investigation, evaluation for yourself of what's bogging you down and what isn't adding value.
That makes a ton of sense. And I go through that on a regular basis myself. But one extra thing I would add to that for that's worked for me, and I'm curious how you approach these things, is I actually kind of picked it up from the James Clear Atomic Habits, but the changes can be small.
Oh yeah.
To make a big difference, and they compound. And I think so many times our listeners and people like us are like, wow, I've got this pile of stuff that is not firing me up. It's not jazzing me up. And enter the sense of overwhelm and the sense of dread. And I've learned and am constantly learning, where's the 1% improvement? Where is the one next thing, the next right step that I can do to, like you said, can I give it to somebody? Do I really need to do it? Can I minimize the time? Can I time block it in a different way? All of those questions are, I think, essential. And so do you look at things in sort of micro improvements, or, and do you do that with your clients, or is it like, no, this thing is a mountain, but we got to move it immediately?
You know, it's such a good question, but I think a lot of that is personality and context dependent. I think if you can swing and you're somebody that's a black and white thinker and you're like, I know my personality, go for the big swing. Don't be upset at yourself and give yourself grace. I've always been someone that can make pretty massive habit changes and many pretty massive routine switches and things like that. A lot of people are much more successful with micro. And I think if you're in doubt, start with micro, because if you surpass your micro goals, you can always keep moving the needle, right? You can make them bigger every single time. What I don't want people to do, and what I think happens with the black or white shifts, is you set yourself up for failure if you don't hit it. And I think there's a very small microcosm of society that actually is that black and white and does successful with that. I think on the safe side, the micro improvements. So an example, a lot of my CEOs aren't sleeping. Shocker, I know. But when you're handling emails at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, and then a lot of them have small children or, you know, other commitments that they're waking up, maybe it's exercise, things like that, that they're waking up for at 5, 6 o'clock. So we're talking 4, 5 hours of sleep. I am not going to hop on those calls and tell them you need to be getting 8 to 10 hours of sleep. They would laugh in my face. Like, that's just not a reality for them. But moving from 5 to 6 hours might be something that we could achieve over the course of 2 weeks.
Sure. I think that is really good advice. I think back to in college, I watched one of those viral videos. I'm dating myself, but it was a military guy that was, you know, basically make your bed every day.
Yeah.
And I committed to making my bed for 365 days and I did it. And it was remarkable how making my bed actually changed and triggered other things. I think my wife still wishes I would make the bed every day, but I do try to do it more often than not. But, you know, I think that, and if you're listening, you don't have to make your bed every day, but what is that one thing in the morning that you can do that triggers a good day?
Mm-hmm.
And if you got 10 minutes before the kids wake up, what can you do with 10 minutes? If you've got 45 minutes or an hour, what can you do with that? That triggers a good day and sets you up for success. I think so much of it is setting yourself up for success too, right?
And I loved that way that you just phrased it of like, okay, what can I do with those 10 minutes? And just like realizing that every productivity hack or, you know, wellness tip isn't going to apply, but it's like, take different things from each podcast that you're doing and test things out and see what fits in your life. And also what does jazz you up? What does actually make a difference in your day? Cause I think that's going to look different for everyone too.
I agree. It's so important and our world is so noisy. And, if you don't control your time and your life, someone else will do it for you. And it probably won't be pretty. And I firmly believe that. So I'm on this journey. Thank you for being a part of this journey. So what is next for you? What are you excited about? What's next on, you know, your growth journey?
Yeah. So many good questions. I would say professionally, myself and another one of my coaches at My Maven, we're going to be going for ICF certification. So just like another program to learn more about expertise in coaching. So I'm excited about that. We're also entertaining. Have you ever done a DISC assessment?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Oh yes. And I have, I've even taught them and coached on them.
And so I think that'll be another one that I'm looking forward to doing and actually giving to people. I think that'll be just really fun in terms of incorporating the coaching.
I'm guessing you're
what do you think my top one is?
It's either an I or a D, and I'm not quite sure. Okay, I almost went D, but you are, some Ds aren't as social as you seem to be. So I thought maybe I, so what do you think I am?
I would actually put, what's the yellow?
I don't know it by color.
Yeah, I did it all by color when I did it. Let me pull it up right now.
So, yeah. Okay. So I'm not a C.
You're not?
I'm a high I with
really
actually very high D and C as well.
Okay.
I'm very kind of balanced, but there's also a test out there that breaks it down, and I hope you get to learn this, where you have what you are naturally and what you pull up in certain situations. And to me, that is fascinating because I present oftentimes as a D and I'm naturally an I, but I want to be several of the characteristics of a C. So I pull that up. So it's really interesting how that works.
That is super interesting. You're doing a great job pulling the C up because I would have pegged you through and through as a C. I don't see as many of the, and it could be also our engagements, right? Our engagements haven't been strictly business related. And so I probably see other aspects of your personality that don't bring as much of the D.
Yeah, you see the I and the C more because that is my podcast personality and, you know, my kind of style. But when I'm in a business meeting and I'm negotiating, I'm a D all the way. I am in it to win it. And so, you know, it's interesting how those things, you can really learn to use different parts of that and pull them up, in a situationally dependent thing. So that's cool that you're studying it. I look forward to catching up with you after you do and seeing what else you learn.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, well, thank you so much for your time today. I love this conversation. I always learn something from you and enjoy talking to you. So, is it okay if we put your LinkedIn in the show notes so people can reach out to you if you want executive coaching? Lauren can help you out and she's great. So thank you so much for being on today.
Thanks for having me, Josh. I had a great time.
Absolutely. And that is a wrap, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, as always, to my sponsors at MarketScale for making this happen. I hope that you got something out of it, and thank you for listening. Until we see you next time, go out there and pursue growth well.